This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shan Ling together with Philip C. In the meantime, as usual, in about 15 minutes, we'll look at all the major stories in the newspapers and portals. But before that, let's recap how global markets ended yesterday.
Oh, it was terrible. You know, the US across the board red. Dow was down 1.6%. S&P 500 down 2%. NASDAQ down 2.8%. Terrible numbers, I think. A confluence of many factors. You cross over to Asia, a totally mixed picture. Nikkei down 0.2%. Hang Seng up 1.2%. Shanghai up 0.5%, STI was down 0.7%, back home FBM KLCI was up 0.9%.
Okay, so we beat the trend. But for an analysis on what's moving markets, we have Jack Cousy, Director for Strategy of VSF Group, on the line with us. Jack, tell us what is going on, because stocks on Wall Street really had a blood buff, last night. And it seems like it's a combination of factors. So you have Washington weighing in on Fed Chair Jerome Powell's renomination. We've got high oil prices, a spike in 30-year U.S. bond yields above 2%. But are you worried?
Well, firstly, if you do the morning run in Langkawi, I want to be the guest.
Depends, Jack, if you're next
on hump day. Okay, so let's get that out. Yeah, what a night. What a night. And what a morning. I mean, you pointed to a lot of factors. So you have the pending government shutdown. I mean, we've seen that movie multiple times. We know they're going to get over that hump. You have the 10-year and the 30-year rising sharply. And you have a massive fall in tech stocks. And you have rising energy prices and steel supply shutdowns. So a combination of factors led to the sell-off in last night. And it was the tech stocks that led that sell-off. Look, to pull my bull hat on, which is always on, it seems to be, you know, we're going to see this volatility in markets. I mean, we've seen an enormous run in markets so far, and I don't think one day makes a market, you know. And I point to the 10-year, and I can see it rising sharply, and I can see everybody and their dog talking about a market crash and this realignment. But I failed to see them. I mean, let's see some of the biggest movers last night. You know, Apple, Netflix, Microsoft, Amazon. I mean, these are companies that are trading at, you know, high-ish multiples, but relative to their earnings are still, in my opinion, very good. And are companies and things that we use every day. So, look, we're waiting and patiently see how this rolls out. But, yeah, it was an enormous day for markets with a lot on its plate. And I think we're starting to see some of the reminiscence of what we saw out of the FOMC about tapering and the market factoring that rates are maybe going to go up higher and quicker than we forecasted. But yeah, it's an interesting time for markets as we set up towards that end of year and that prediction of mine that we're going to see an end of year rally. So that's certainly being put to the test at the moment. But to be honest with you, and tell you to viewers and your listeners out there, no panic here. You know, it's not like I'm readjusting positions or doing anything crazy at this point in time. Let's see how we go. We have had a good run, and, you know, September is historically a volatile time, and we're seeing that volatility play out in markets.
So, Jack, wait and see, or any specific buying opportunities then?
Look, when I see tech move like it has, and if I continue to see that, you know, I would start to dip into big tech again. I mean, I woke up this morning, okay, and the first thing I did was I checked my Apple phone. The second thing I did was I woke up my kids, I took them to daycare, and then I jumped on YouTube. The third thing I did was I jumped on my Alexa and started my playing music. I mean, I failed to see, this is, you know, I know it's kind of segueing, but I failed to see what 1.7, 1.8 or 2% on a 10-year in the long term does to these tech stocks. If you want to talk about the high multiples and, you know, your cloud stocks and those trading at, you know, on price to sales, I can understand that in terms of a rates rising. But for me, it doesn't play out for me for these big mega cap tech stocks that are so well diversified. Why Apple trading at a 25 PE gets hammered like it does, considering everything it's got in this place, doesn't make sense for me in the long term. It sure does in the short term. And I said this to you 2 weeks ago, I think 4 weeks ago, these are all weather stocks. And that's where I would be going if I continue to see a dip in these big FANG names and these big mega cap tech stocks.
Okay, staying on your favorite stock in the whole wide world, which is Apple. Now, we know China's crucial role in the tech supply chain, but there are concerns now that this power crisis we're seeing is going to disrupt this production for hardware companies. So, for example, like Apple and even some other consumer electronic companies. What are your thoughts? Am I going to have trouble getting the latest iPhone 13?
Yeah, I think unfortunately you're going to have trouble getting a lot of things in time for Christmas, aren't we? I mean, China just can't take a break in it at the moment. I mean, it's just one thing after the other for this economy at the moment. Look, this is part of a few reasons. Obviously, you've had production supplies in terms of, you know, energy. You have them moving towards a more carbon neutral, you know, and they're reducing their emissions. There were some, you know, notices from I guess the government there saying that they were doing everything they can to ensure that production is not, you know, sustained in terms of its disruption, and they were going to push energy as much as they could. Yeah, it's an issue. It's definitely an issue. They're asking people in some areas of the world there or regions of the world to, you know, limit microwave use and limit oven use and limit air, heating use at that point in time. So you combine this with the port shutdowns that we saw out of China 3 to 4 weeks ago, and we're seeing the delayed elements of the Delta variant in terms of supply. Now, I will say that Delta is calming down, which I think will help ease some of those pressures. And then you look at people lining up for the iPhone 13 in China in the last couple of days, we may see some issues there, which again doesn't help that inflation narrative that we've seen. But I continue to believe that these are short-term disruptions, and we will start to see these pressures ease November, December, January, which may not be in time for the Christmas rush, which again could be a factor affecting these markets. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so Jack, let's just assume that you want to treat yourself to a Tesla, right, this Christmas because you've worked really hard, but you can't because of the chip shortages. You know, what would you whisper to Elon's ear to help him overcome those production target cuts he's going to do?
I'd say stop tweeting and just work on your production issues.
Stop going to space. Is that the other thing?
Stop talking about crypto and Doge and just concentrate on the factories in Shanghai.
Okay, but, with the whole, staying on the topic of China, you know, they've suddenly cracked down, well, actually not suddenly, they've cracked down on cryptocurrencies. I mean, what do you expect, and do you expect tougher reform from them going forward? And what kind of impact will this have on cryptocurrencies globally?
My favorite movie is the Matrix trilogy, right? And I've seen that maybe 30 times.
Oh, God.
And I can't wait for Matrix 4. All of them. Love it, right? Love the Matrix trilogy.
Oh, my God.
And every time I watch it, guys, every time I watch it, it's the exact same beginning and the exact same ending. And we've seen this out of China maybe 9 or 10 times on them cracking down on cryptocurrency. So I've seen this movie before. If you talk about companies like Ant Financial, Alipay, WeChat, I mean, this helps them really because, you know, cryptocurrencies are an alternative to the financial system. So, you know, we get this shock and supply out of China, but I've seen them ban cryptocurrencies many, many times. They believe in the blockchain. They just don't want an alternative asset class or an alternative way to use money. So I actually think it makes no difference. I think it's just noise. The market obviously reacted off it. I mean, we saw them shut down mining at the start of the year. This doesn't affect the cryptocurrency market in general, in my opinion. And again, I've seen this movie again. I wouldn't look at it with too much grain of salt. I look at it with a grain of salt when I look at this broader market.
Okay, Jack, let's just get out of Matrix and let's move to train spotting logistics, because Alibaba recently invested in NinjaVan, right? Singapore's logistics company. What's your take on logistics startup players in Southeast Asia? Upside?
I mean, just look at the components of Southeast Asia, right? You've got a massive population. You've got multiple territories and a massive landmass to get around. And you have growing income. So, you know, parcel deliveries, e-commerce, moving things around need logistics. And they need logistics that's fine-tuned, uses data very well, and can operate in this unique area of the world. So this signed by Alibaba moving into this Series E is just a further push for the logistics market within Southeast Asia. And I continue to say the center of the economic world. So this is where the activity is. This is where the growth engine of the world is. And logistics is going to be a big part of it. And I think that'll continue going forward.
What kind of pricing will you pay, Dodo, Jack? Because we're going to see more and more of these companies going for listing.
Yeah, that's a really specific question to ask me about logistics. I tell you, you're making me work for my money. Look,
I'm the numbers lady here.
I don't know how much they paid. Does anyone know what they paid on the multiple? I don't know the exact figure. But I go back to my point is that this area of the market is going to continue to see growth. And you will have to pay high multiples. So I can't give you an exact figure off the top of my head, but what I will say is that, again, I point to those metrics within Southeast Asia, and this will be a continuing market going forward. And I think you're going to see more acquisitions and more mergers and more funding for these areas of the markets, particularly in Southeast Asia, which will continue to grow.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy of VFS Group, saying that you can't ignore logistic companies. And
you can't.
At the moment, it's true. We don't know the kind of valuations, but the existing players, especially if we look at like Malaysia, they're all trading, except for post-Malaysia, they're all trading at above like 20 times. And if you look globally, that's also the valuations, especially for some of the Japanese logistic companies.
I mean, Southeast Asia also is just strategically very located, right? Huge market. So it has a role to play in the global logistics role. I mean, let's talk about Straits. The Straits, right? Straits of Malacca, that's where actually a lot of logistics flow goes through. And so I think that just perpetuates beyond just the maritime route, but now also to ground and air.
Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.